It is a real joy to be back with you. Nancy, unfortunately, wasn't doing well, and she gave me or told me to tell everybody to give you her regards, and especially Brother Don, Sister Sandy. Sister Debbie, spent a lot of time with them through the years in their home, and they visited with us, and we just thank the Lord. Whenever Brother Don mentioned about the church being constituted in 2003, it just shows to me we're all getting a little older, and the Lord's just blessing us continually for that, those things that he's done for us. And we're just thankful to be here and pray that the Lord might be with us for a short time. I also want to make one other prayer request. Last night there was a tragic shooting in Virginia Beach where 12, 13 people were killed. That was about 5 miles from where we lived for the last 7 years. And to my knowledge, none of the folks were affected from the church there, but please continue to be in prayer for them. And just another tragedy that I don't think the world will ever get rid of, because I don't think there's any way to get rid of it. But just pray for the families and pray for those that have been affected by that. In the 26th chapter, I believe, of Exodus, and I'm just going to refer there. I'm not going to deal with that subject. But Moses stood in the camp, and he said, "Whosoever is on, or who is on the Lord's side, come unto me." And we find today that there are many different people in this world, and many aren't on the Lord's side. And then there are many that are on the Lord's side. Some just don't know the right side when it comes to talking about the Lord. But this morning, the subject matter I'd like to try to deal with, or seemingly is on my mind, is the subject matter of being different. We think quite frequently about Primitive Baptists, and we think about them being different. If you ask the normal folk out there, they're going to tell you, if they know anything about Primitive Baptists, that they're different. But a lot of times we're confused as to why we're different, why the Lord has given us some things. In the first book of Samuel, in the 8th chapter, I want to base a little bit of what I'm going to speak to you about, the Lord willing, on this chapter. But we find that Samuel had become old in the beginning of this chapter, that he made his sons judges over Israel. And then it goes into the names, and I'm not interested in that, but that was a bad decision on the part of Samuel. We're told that his sons, as we look a little further, had rejected the Lord, basically, is what it tells us. They were corrupt. They judged, I guess you can say, for their own benefit and not for the benefit of the people. And I'm sure we can all think of times in the history of the world that there were men that stood over nations that didn't have the nation's best interest in heart. That was true now, it's true then, and it probably always will be true. But we're told now in verse 5, the elders had actually gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel, And they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Samuel may have been old, but he still had right judgment. He knew where his strength came from. He knew who had the answers to the problems of Israel. You would think, in a way, Israel would be a good group of people always. But you got to remember, they had their problems. They had their difficulties. They had their rebellions. They could eat of the manna and the water, that drank of the water that God provided, and yet they complained. And when you begin to look at Israel, they had their ups and downs. Guess what? We have our ups and downs. There's days when we feel like we can conquer any giant. We can be like Caleb and Joshua. There's other days that we just don't think we can hardly make it through. We're discouraged. We're cast down. But yet, remember the promise of the apostle when he said, not destroy. We have times in our lives that were much like Israel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. They have not rejected thee. Sometimes preachers get condemned when they're preaching the truth. Sometimes we get people that get angry at us. I've had the privilege through the years to preach for the Methodists and for a few other groups of people. And believe me, they don't all agree, but they invited me to come. Never invited back anywhere, but, you know, at least one time they got to hear what I believe to be the truth anyhow, biblically. And preachers sometimes take it. It took a long time in my life to learn that if I'm preaching the truth, I shouldn't be worried about what people think. And yet, sometimes we do worry. Years ago, I used to fight all the battles that came along, and I've learned since that you got to pick and choose what you're going to fight against. If it's something that's going to destroy the church, if it's a false doctrine, false idea, something that will destroy the kingdom of God, well, then we have every right to stand up, take a stand, and be on the Lord's side. If it's something that's trivial, if it's something because one person likes another person more, I mean, we have to deal with it. But at the same time, it's like preachers. You know, sometimes preachers can get, or people will worship preachers. That, you know, that's a sad thing. But at the same time, when we realize that we're in it for the same reason, I'm not here to preach better than Brother Don. I couldn't if I wanted to. But if the Lord blesses to preach, we ought to be willing to hear. Amen. And if we're willing to hear, we ought to be different in the aspect that we want to take a stand for what's true. So they didn't reject the prophet Samuel. They rejected the Lord. And if you think about it a little bit, every time we turn our back on the truth, we're in a sense rejecting the Lord. We're saying, Lord, what you said, what you commanded is, you know, we just don't agree with that. I remember the church one time on the inside, it had three walls printed. One wall it said, God said it. Another wall, we believe it. And the third wall, that settles it. And if God says it, we ought to believe it, and that ought to settle it. So we go a little further, and the Lord, and again, I'm not going to read all of this, but the Lord granted that request to make a king. But before he did that, Samuel told them exactly what was going to happen. Elder John Friend, some of you knew him years ago, very good friend of mine. He said one time, In summary, he said he's going to lead your sons to war and break your back with taxes. And that's what happened. He dealt with the young women, dealt with the young men, and he told them all of that up front. And yet they wanted a king. They wanted to be like other nations. You know what they really wanted? They wanted someone that would fight their battles, stood head and shoulder above the average man. They wanted someone that they didn't have to worry about so much when it came to the problems that they've encountered. What they didn't know is if this happened, it was going to cause more problem. And yet, I said they didn't know. They did know because Samuel told them. But when we begin to think about being different, it displeased the Lord. You know, over in 2 Corinthians 6, and I believe about the 17th verse, the apostle tells us, "Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate people." He tells us not to touch the things, not to handle the things. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. And he said, "You do that and I will receive you." We're to be separate. We're not to be like the world. Amen. Let's just talk a moment. When I say the world, obviously, in one sense, we're talking about the wicked world. We're not to, in any form or fashion, be like them. I mean, people can put on a pretty good display on Sunday morning or during meeting time. We can go to the house of God and we can be all dressed up. We can talk right. We can act right. We can sing right. We can pray right. And we can listen to the preaching. But sometimes it ends there. People go out of the church of God and they forget about who we're representing. We're still representing the Lord. Every time, you know, when I lived in Virginia Beach, the highways were horrible. The people were, just oodles and oodles of people and cars. And there was more than once I talked to cars when we were driving along the highway. When they tried to cut you off or tried to do this or that. And, you know, I think that's just human nature. As long as we just talk to them, I guess that's all right. As long as we act right. But we ought to pray for them too. Lord, help them learn how to drive a little better. And whenever we had a little bit of snow down there, the best thing for people to do is just stay at home. Because they didn't know how to drive in that at all. But regardless of all of that, we have our moments through the week that we get down. We need a constant revival in our churches. We need to not only be there on Sunday morning, but we need to be different every day of the week. It's like, what are you, a Volkswagen or a Cadillac? How much gas does it take? You know, I'd rather be a Cadillac. I have to keep going back and getting more fuel all the time. If I'm just a Volkswagen, I can go a long time and maybe get down the road a ways and forget it. And if you all have Volkswagens, well and good. You can have all you want. But spiritually, you need to be different and come back and back and back. We don't need to be like other people in this world. Also, we don't need to be like other churches necessarily in this world. Not that I've thought so often, you know, the scriptures teach us that they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I believe we have the knowledge. I believe we have the truth. I believe we know what the gospel is for and what it's not for. That God gave us the gospel to bring to light the life that God has put in us. But at the same time, sometimes people in this world, even though they don't have the knowledge, they seem to have an awful lot of zeal. In fact, sometimes based on what knowledge they have, they got too much zeal. When primitive Baptists get together, we're to be different. We're supposed to have the knowledge, but we're supposed to have the zeal also. We're supposed to be in the house of God. When you come to the house of God, you need to be excited to be there. I mean, I'm sure you think about Brother Nathan and myself, at least. We drove 4, 5, 6 hours to get here. Who in their right mind would drive that far unless we were different? Unless we were individuals that wanted to come and worship God. I think so much of you that I'd probably drove 10 hours if that was necessary. Just to be able to worship the Lord. I don't know of any other group of people on this earth that would do that. Recently, I attended, and somebody might say, well, you attend a lot of other churches. It's not on Sundays usually, but there was a little Sovereign Grace church near us. And I used to go there once in a while years ago, and the preacher died, and I went over there one evening just to see what was going on. And they have a piano up front. And I noticed probably 15 years ago when I was there, nobody played it. And when I was there here recently, nobody played it. I asked the preacher, I said, how come you don't play the piano? He said, well, we don't have anybody to play it. And I basically told him, I said, well, don't you think if the Lord wanted you to have a piano, he'd give you a piano player? Don't you think the Lord would provide those things? Of course, they're way off on what the gospel's for, but from the doctrines of grace, they sounded pretty good. And they have. I've been close to some of those people through the years. But they still don't have the whole truth. The point of it is, people go to church for a lot of reasons. We've had children that's kind of left the Primitive Baptist because they were maybe married a spouse that was affiliated with another church. They like the activities for children. They like to have the joy, I guess you could say. Well, I'll tell you what, we've never given away any prizes for going to church. But I'll tell you what, if you come to church every Sunday for a while and you don't miss, we'll give you a bus ticket to the biggest association we can find so you can sit 3 days and hear about 20 preachers. And the benches, by the way, are hard. I forgot to tell you that. And how many would like that? Well, I love to go to meetings. I love to hear the preaching. But that's not a part of the church. When people give prizes for playing the best baseball, let me tell you something, that's not being different. That's just plumb being worldly. That's just plumb incorporating the world with the church. And that doesn't work. It doesn't, never has worked, and it still doesn't work. When you look at other people and other churches, and he tells us to come out from among the world and be separate. Why are we different today? That's what I like to focus on for a few moments. Why are we different than everyone else? Well, I'm not going to go into doctrines today. We've done that many times, and you've heard it many times. First of all, I said we have the truth. We have the doctrines of God's grace. Amen. And what does that mean? That just simply means it's all of grace and none of works as far as eternal salvation is concerned. That we have a hope in Christ of one day living with him in glory, not based on anything we've done, but totally on the blood of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And you never want to forget, he's going to come back and get us too. Those things are solid evidences of we being different. You got to be careful. One thing though, if somebody asks you, do you believe in amazing grace? There's not many groups that I've ever talked to or many people of those groups that I've chatted with that didn't readily admit they believe in amazing grace. They'll say, well, sure, we believe in grace. Well, I do too. They just don't want as much grace as I do. They don't want to go quite as far. It's too much grace for a lot of them. But when it comes to the old Baptist church, there's not enough. There's enough. We just can't get enough of it. When, you know, you think about a little bit, the woman that left her pot at the well, somebody said, well, she just You know, it was just too much grace to carry those worldly things along. We don't want to be like those individuals. And there's a lot of wonderful people out there. And I believe when heaven's populated, there's going to be some out of every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, probably every church. I don't know. The Lord knows that. But the point of it is, when it comes to this world, we believe in total grace. Amen. There's some folks I've discussed. And, you know, even though it's a bad attitude to have, I would love someday to just tell them, when we get to heaven, I knew how it was going to be. And you didn't. But we're there by grace, and we're going to be happy. We're going to be satisfied. We're going to live in a place forever and ever. So let's get back to this for a moment. Being difficult can be hard. Being different can be hard. Being different from someone else. You know, they tell us that no two people look alike. They tell us that every fingerprint is different. They tell us that, your hair's, you know, nowadays they can take a crime that's happened years ago and do some of their genetic testing and so on and so forth and can come to the conclusion whether someone committed a crime or not. That baffles my mind, how that can be done. But they claim they can do it. But remember, we can't be like Israel was there. We want to be like other people. We don't want to be like other people. We want to be independent in the sense that we depend on God and God alone. Sometimes in school, some of you that are in school now or have been in school recently or maybe remember way back yonder, you can probably think of times that people ridiculed you and picked on you and said you're different. Maybe you didn't have as good a clothes as someone else. Maybe you got to driving and you drove an old jalopy. I know our kids, we had 5 kids. And believe me, they didn't all get a new car. In fact, we bought the oldest car we could find that run. And they said, well, we'll never drive that. But you know, when it came time to drive what they drove that. And sometimes they were picked on because they weren't in the elite group or the rich group in the school system. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be in the happy group than the rich group any day of the week. Let's notice a couple other things that are contained here. We must remember Peter on one occasion, and I'm not going to go into that in depth, but over in Galatians 2, I believe it is, he spoke, and again, I won't go back and read it, I'll let you look it up. In Galatians 2, the Apostle Peter, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I believe it says, it goes something like, I withstood him face to face. The Apostle Peter made mistakes. Sometimes he wasn't different. What do you mean by that? Well, on one occasion he told the Lord, I'm going to go with you wherever you go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep your statutes. I'm going to keep your commandments. All in my phrase right now. But before the cock crowed, he denied the Lord 3 times. Why? Many times we're not different because of the influence of others. Remember the Acts of the Apostles when the Apostle Paul was about, or they were about to set sail, and the owner of the ship believed the master more than others. And the Apostle Paul said, I perceive that this voyage will come with much loss, even of lives. And if you remember the story, they tried to sail. The south wind blew. And they felt like, well, we can make it. But, you know, they were saved by basically hanging on to boards and such as that. They believed that they wanted to believe the more part. The master wanted to believe the more part. He wanted to believe what someone else told him. If a lot of times we go with the idea that one person doesn't mean much. I'd rather take the word of Paul, though, than 100 out here in this world. I'd rather take the word of one godly man or one godly woman than to take the word of so many out in this world. We find Jesus Christ being the great example. Even though the Apostle Paul said, follow me or my ways which be in the Lord. Paul didn't say, follow me with whatever I do, but follow me as long as my ways are in the Lord. So how are we going to be different today as Primitive Baptists? Well, I don't believe we should go and run to a tattoo parlor and have a tattoo of follow Jesus put on our foreheads. You know, that's different, but that's not what he had in mind. I don't believe we need to print up a bunch of bumper stickers, even though I've known Primitive Baptists to do that through the years. I remember 1 year ago in the South said, follow me to the Primitive Baptist Church. You know, that could cause a wreck on the highway. Follow me to the Primitive Baptist Church. There's somebody sees that, they'll run you off the road to find out what a Primitive Baptist is. Well, I don't think that's what he meant to be different. He didn't mean to be different because of that. We don't need neon lighted signs in our houses or in our yards saying, I'm different. You know, you can be different and people will notice it. How are we going to be different today? I'd like to maybe turn to a couple texts in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, we find something given here that to me teaches us a great deal. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, what does that mean, or what doesn't mean? One thing it does mean, that if you're in Christ, if Christ be in you, if Christ is in you, if Christ has taken up his abode, if you've been born to the Spirit of God, the body is dead because of sin. Paul said, I find a law in my members, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That doesn't mean you'll never sin. We sin, God blesses us sometime in spite of what we do. We sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. How wonderful to think of some of those verses like that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote over in the book of I think it's in the book of Corinthians, but we'll pass by, maybe it'll come to mind. But what makes the difference is not a tattoo on your head or a bumper sticker, but what makes a difference is what he's put in your heart. The writer said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That those things that he's given us, those things in the heart. I've had people come to me and say, do you believe this is wrong? Maybe it's taking a little wine or taking, I remember a brother years ago that was in a little Jiffy Mart, and he had bought a bottle of something and he was in checkout, and I was shortly, not far behind him, and he knew I saw him. And afterwards, he came to me and he said, do you believe that was wrong? Well, why did he ask me that if he was doing it? He already was condemned, and I think many times we have instant judgment. When I say instant judgment, there's things I maybe am going to do and I'm judged instantly, saying that's not right, that's not good. I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to set an example. I'm supposed to not be a dictator over the Lord's people, but an example unto the flock. I'm not to do those things. When we're different and we're out in this world, we're to be a shining light. We're to let our light shine. We're to glorify our God in heaven. We're not to be individuals that live like the world for 6 days and like the Lord for one, if that's even possible. But when you hear someone or you talk to someone, we're to be that example when we're talking, when they see how we live our lives. That's being different. When they see how we love each other, that's being different. When we see how we help someone that's in need, that's being different. When they see what the church means to us, that's being different. Those are things that we're different with. We're different because we come all this way just to have fellowship with Little Miami Primitive Baptist Church. We come such a distance when we realize, I expect we passed 1,000 churches on the way. But you know, none of them were Little Miami. None of them were quite like where we were going. None of them had the message that we wanted to hear and maybe what we wanted to preach. I'd like to turn with you. I think it's in Luke 23, if I can get it correct here. My mind doesn't work quite like it used to. In Luke chapter 23, I want to look at one man here real briefly. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 50, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God." You know, there were many times scripturally that people left. What happened? The apostles were sleeping in the garden. And the Lord said, "Can't you just stay awake a little while I go pray?" And then he came back, and I don't know, third time or however many times, he came back and he said, "Sleep on and take your rest." That might be a good insert for people sleeping in church too. You know, when you come to church, there's something to do. What is that? Pay attention. To give Brother Don your undivided attention. You know, if he's preaching good, you don't want to miss it. And if he's not preaching good, he needs your prayers even more. And I've told him at churches I've served, I want you to stay awake that if I do preach, you'll hear it. Or if I ever do preach, you'll hear it. And so this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. You remember Mary Magdalene, when she came to that sepulcher, and she thought it was the gardener who turned out to be the Lord, said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." I'd say that's different. It's different what Joseph had done. He was different. He was a just man. And we can be different today. I have no idea what time it is, so we can be different today as well. We can be a strong church. I love a church. We put our membership back at Tippecanoe, where I served for about 18 years, and had the wonderful opportunity of fellowshipping with them and also visiting other churches. I've pastored churches for since I was about 20, and I'm 65, so that's been a long time. And I said it was just a nice break for a while, just to be able to visit and enjoy the fellowship. But wherever I go, they're so warm and so kind. They're like when Paul went to preach. You know, the apostle to the Gentiles went to preach to Lydia, a seller of purple, and the Philippian jailer, and all of them. They would have never possibly have met had they not been different and been on the Lord's side. I'll tell you what, we'd have never met any other way. But when we have met, you know, you have a special place. We love one another. We care for one another. We have a hope that someday we'll be with him in glory, and you'll be there too. You talk about somebody said, well, you already mentioned the resurrection. Well, if it's not worth mentioning again, it wasn't worth mentioning the first time. When we get there, we're going to be one happy folk, aren't we? And it's like one preacher said, of course, he didn't believe in grace, but he said, we're just having a rehearsal here. And if you don't act right in the rehearsal, he said, you're not going to make it in the performance. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter how you act in the rehearsal. You're going to make the performance. And we're going to be there. You know, I don't know. The older I get, the more aches and pains I get. I just know we're different. I'm going to tell you a little story. And when we were down in Georgia helping Nancy with her parents, as they both were not doing well, and eventually they passed away. And I was called to the little church in Norfolk, Virginia, kind of separate from everybody. No other preachers around to speak of, no other churches around to speak of. And people more than once told me I was absolutely crazy. Packed up, moved to Virginia, didn't have a job, didn't have a place to live. But if ever I felt that it was the right thing, I went. Now, that's different. And found a job and found a place to live in a matter of no time, and the folks were just wonderful. And when the time came that I felt like it was, my time was up there, Nancy had got cancer, and we just decided I didn't feel the liberty to preach like I did at one point. And felt like we needed to be around some of the children. So we decided to move to Indiana. You know what? People told us we were crazy. We left. I sent Nancy to Indiana. And I just felt, and I do feel like this, that if we depend on the Lord, he provides. If we follow his impressions. But I sent her to Indiana to find a house. The reason I did that is because if anything went wrong with the house, I had somebody to blame. It wasn't me. But I sent her to Indiana to find a house. She found one. We put an offer in. You know, on one side, this was all on my worry list. And I always said, well, you shouldn't have a worry list. Well, I had a lot of them. But any case, She found one. We put an offer in, lowest offer of anyone. She had wrote him a nice letter and told him how we needed to get back towards family. And they accepted our offer. How many people in this world would take the lowest offer on a house? Then we had the house in Virginia yet and said that, well, we got to sell this. It sold in a matter of just a couple weeks. We went back. We were blessed to do what we needed to the house, blessed to go and visit churches, and I can see the Lord's work in every aspect. And I just believe in being different and depending on the Lord is what made that happen. It wasn't what I've done or what someone else did. Brother Don was talking about this building and how you were blessed to remodel and basically rework the building. And you've got a beautiful place. And just keep it. Keep it. Attend. And if you don't think you're missed when you're not here, just ask Brother Don. Or ask me about folks of churches I've served. And when we look at Samuel and Israel that wanted a king like other kings, we've got the greatest king there is. We've got the only king that's dependable. Like one brother said, he's never lost a case. He's barred the prosecuting attorney from the courtroom. And in essence, he is the one that's our all in all. Solomon said he's altogether lovely. And when we see that, I just thank God that we're different from other people. May God bless you is my prayer.
Good morning. I really enjoyed what this brother has had to say. Really enjoyed that message. And he's right. You know, we do have to be different people. I have 7 children, and most of them are grown now, but I still have 2 that are at home, and I tell them that all the time. And I remember my parents telling me that whenever I was in school, that everyone's always heard the saying, if your friends jumped off a bridge, are you going to do it too? Everyone's heard that saying. Well, there were times when I was a teenager, yeah, I'd do it just to say I did it. But as I got older, I started realizing that not everything that my friends were doing were a good thing. And I remember just real quickly that, you know, I didn't always serve the Lord either. As a matter of fact, you know, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I ran from God. You know, I felt ashamed to even utter the name God because I felt so unworthy. Because of the way I was living, I wasn't living right. I was disobedient to my parents. I didn't hold down a job. The Lord was disappointed in my behavior. And then one day, I just felt really mournful over how I was living. My grandfather, who's dead now, Elder Eddie K. Garrett Sr., he's my grandfather, and I called him up one day, and he was, back then, he was a lot more staunch than he was a few years ago when he was still living, if you can imagine that. But to those that have known him. And I told him how I was feeling. And I grew up in the old Baptist church, but I didn't always follow everything that we were teaching. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, let's be honest. You know, when you're 10 years old and you're sitting in the pews, most likely you're not necessarily paying attention to every word the preacher's saying. Instead, you're thinking about riding your bike when you get home or playing with your buddies down the street. And it's human nature to feel that way. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I joke around with her every Sunday morning. I'll go down the hallway, and I'll shout, be like, who's ready for church on Sunday? Let's go. And I look at her, and she has this look on her face, like, oh, boy, here we go. I got to go listen to those old people sing songs for 30 minutes and then listen to Dad attempt to preach for 45 minutes. But you know what, though? I've seen evidence that little girl is a child of God. Because those that are parents, we look at our children and we keep waiting for that little bit of evidence, don't we? Something to manifest itself that we can say, yeah, I think I see some evidence there. I mean, when she was 7 years old, real quick, she was lying on the couch and then started asking me, just out of the blue, just started asking me questions about Jesus. I didn't initiate the conversation, she did. But as a seven-year-old level, she was asking all these questions about who Jesus was, who he died for, and I don't know where she got that idea from. It could have been from preaching. It could have been from somebody at school. I don't know. But I was thankful for the conversation. And as I began to talk with her 30 minutes down the road, I looked at my wife and I shook my head in affirmative, and she knew exactly what I was thinking, that for the first time since I watched that child be born, I saw that there was evidence that the Lord's already been there. Listen, you're right, brother, in a sense that the old Baptists, we understand how God saves the sinner. It's 100% grace and nothing that we can do. I hear all the time people say that, God died or Jesus died for the entire human race, and all you got to do is just believe it. You just got to believe it, and then it'll make the atonement effective. I hear that all the time, and so do you. It's hard to get into conversations with these people, but you're never going to win people over by being really angry and really, what's the word I'm looking for, thrust yourself. You got to use some tact. You know, and you're never going to win anybody over to the Primitive Baptists if you're just constantly arguing with them, making them, you got to show them some kindness. You got to show them some love. You got to tell them why you believe the way you believe. And, you know, they'll see it. You know, my grandfather, he was a sovereign gracer he was a preacher for 11 years. He believed that in salvation by grace, but he believed that everybody who was God's children, at some point in their life, they would be presented with the gospel. That was the difference that he believed. And then he came to the old Baptist and realized that, you know what? It's 100% Jesus Christ. But you're right, brother. We do have to be different. And it's not always easy to be different, is it? As a matter of fact, it can be really tough, especially those of us at our jobs. If we're around a lot of people, we hear a lot of people doing and saying a lot of bad things. We have a choice to make. Do we partake in it and just wrap ourselves up in the blanket of the world? Or do we reject that and say, no, I'm not going to behave that way. Instead, I'm going to do what I should do, which is what I've seen and heard and been taught from the Scripture. And it's not always easy to do that, is it? Especially when you have children and you try to tell them what you've learned, and they just think that you haven't been through it. You know, it's always amazing that you get a 12-year-old that says, Dad, you don't understand. I understand more than you think. And one of these days, when you're mature enough, you'll begin to realize that. Thank you for the time. Let's bow our heads in prayer.